Sorry to cause a bit of a last minute panic. I turned up 5 minutes before we're supposed to start with a PowerPoint. So I'm very thankful for technicians. If there is a prayer of thanks to go, then it should go to the technicians and our musicians as well. I thank God for those. As I was introduced, I've just changed recently 8 months now, changed a job from youth worker in Eastbourne to being patient transport services. For the NHS, that is up until Tuesday, because we're being privatized on Tuesday. And it's one of those things that I didn't even know that job existed. It was somebody who said, Eric, I know you're looking for something else. You're very good with people at the younger scale, youth. Why don't you try the other end of the scale and do patient transport services? And I said, tell me more about it. So they did, and I went for interviews, and they obviously wanted me, gave me a contract, and I have not looked back. It has been an amazing provision by God. Financially, we had to take a massive pay cut, about half of what I was earning at the church, because we're on minimum wage, and I'm also on bank only, so I only get shifts as and when they're available. But by the grace of God, the 10-hour shifts, I only need 2 or 3 a week, and they've so far, God has come through on those. So if you could keep praying that the private contractor will honor that as well, that would be fantastic. But it's all in God's hands. One of the things that I learned is that when I was with you for the first time, I had to look you guys up. I'd never heard of you. I'd never heard of this little village here. I heard of Brighton. I'm from Eastbourne. I didn't know there was anything in between. Well, Seaford, New Haven, but we don't count those. So when I drove here, I thought, that's quite a trek for somebody to come and deliver the word of the Lord. Quite a trek. When I was here today, I thought, actually, it's just around the corner, isn't it? It's just around the corner. And because I drive this particular road every time I'm on shift, because we often go to the Royal in Brighton, obviously, or the one at the top of the race course. So suddenly, your perspective changes. And I don't know whether you've had that in life, whether you do something for so long that you just kind of blink it until you do something fresh. And that's maybe why God sometimes removes you from the comfortable area and say, no, I want you to have a fresh perspective. And I would like to do that today with Mothering Sunday. So can we have the slides up? There we go. First of all, that's my cry to you. Welcome, and I'm so glad you're here. I always say that wherever I go, we're glad you're here. Because for some of us, it is Sunday, therefore I go to church. End of, full stop. For others, you struggle to be here through whatever reason. For whatever reason, you got up this morning and life wasn't kind to you. You got a bad message, or you got a bad body. And still, you decided to come and be with the people of the Lord, to hear the word of the Lord. So we're glad that you're here with us today. Can I have the next slide, please? This is what we're kind of talking about today. Mum has shown her love by what? How do mums, and it was mentioned at the beginning, all of us, by the virtue that you're here, means that at some stage in your life, you had a mother. Now, we could talk about that particular mother, whether it was a good mom, a bad mom, an indifferent mom, or anywhere in between. But we all have the experience of some sort of motherhood. So a mom shows her love by what? Well, there's only one. Oh, yep, yes, please, next one. There's only one way to find out, and that's by playing a game. Yeah? Yeah, you're up for it. Children, are you up for a game? I need your help. I need your help. Let's see whether it works first. Yeah, let's just move on to the next. There we go. Fantastic. Okay, there are 8 things that mums might do for you. Have you got any ideas at the back there? What does your mum do for you? Yeah, just shout it out. She cooks your dinner. That is number one. If you click on number one, hopefully that works. Uh-oh. Oh, no. That's a shame, isn't it? Clicking, but it's not working. Okay, it was indeed number one answer with about, I asked 100 people, as if I did, and 69 people says, yeah, yes, she feeds us. Yes. She looks after you. Let's see whether that's on that. Should be on that, shouldn't he? Yeah, that's number two. Looks after us, generally. So within the looking after, we've also broken it down to give us a few more answers. We can have other answers from the floor, not just from the younger generation. She nurses you better. Yes, that was number six on here. Or kisses us better, I've got. I think I'll go with that one. Kisses us better. That was actually number two, four, six, seven. Seventh on the list. So any other? Washing. I love that. That was actually number three. Washes our clothes. Yes. Disciplines you. Now, obviously, that's not a key thing. So that's not on the answers. Thanks for playing. That's your first strike, but you've still got two to go, so that's fine. That's fine. Any others? But you're absolutely right. Mothers do discipline. You're absolutely right. Yes? They help you. Yes, indeed. How did you get here today? Did Mummy drive you here today? Or Daddy? But Mommy sometimes takes you to school, maybe, or do the shops. So taxi service. Yeah. That's Daddy. Taxi service. Yes, that was on there as well. That was actually number five. And then there are two more. One is cleaning. She does the cleaning, apparently, when you ask people. And she dries our tears. So that's quite a nice one. Okay, next slide then, please. Yes, and the next one. So we heard of different mums, and we had the readings. The first one was about Jochebed, Moses' parents, or Moses' mum, really. She should get the credit, because long before he ended up in the Nile, she had to make that basket. Yeah? So she was actually ahead of time. Now, in that story, I don't know how well you know your Bible, but there is a story in Exodus 2, if you want to check my storytelling. It's in Exodus chapter 2, where Moses is born in a period where little boys are being killed off. Okay? So, Jochebed, who is Moses' mum, she says, actually, there is something special about this child. It says in the Bible, when she looked at him, there was something special about him. And she just knew that she couldn't hand them over to the soldiers. She couldn't kind of do anything with. So she kept him quiet for a little while. But as we all know, little babies grow up. And the larger they get, the larger their lungs get. And the larger their lungs get, the louder their voices get. So eventually she had to say, you know what, I need to do something, but still keep him safe. So she designed this basket. And then she sent Moses' sister Miriam along and say, you keep an eye on that basket and see where it ends up. And then it ends up, by God's providence, outside Pharaoh's palace. And then a princess sees the basket, sees the baby in the basket. She obviously wanted a child, because she says, oh, the gods have answered. And then she says, but I don't know what to do with a child. It's a bit like my daughter, who's 27, and says, I will never have children. And then she was in Canary Wharf. She works in London. She sent me a little video from Canary Wharf where she does this little, I don't know how they do it on their phone, but she's got a little phone and she goes like this. Look, I'm in Canary Wharf. And then you see her. And then in her arm, there's a little baby. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, you haven't told me anything about this. The baby also looks a little bit bigger than a newborn. And she says, I'm here with my friend Kat, but as you can see, as she went round again, Kat has done a runner and I'm left holding the baby. I don't know what to do. So she's a bit like that. Now, obviously, Jochebed wasn't like that. The princess at the palace wasn't like that. They loved the baby. And then, of course, she must have thought out loud, what am I to do? And Miriam kind of popped up from in between the bushes and said, I know a lady who would love to look after this baby. Oh, really? You do you? And Moses gets reacquainted with his mother. And the mother gets the chance to raise the baby. Now, in this whole story, which character would you choose to be? There are several. You could be Moses, if you want to go back to that. Go back to babyhood. You could be Miriam, the careful sister, the caring sister. You could be Jochebed, the mum, who kind of chose faith over fear. That's really what we learned from Jochebed this morning. If there's anything to take away from that story, and that's why she is in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Because she chose faith over fear. Now, I don't know what fear is hovering over you, around your house, your household. I don't know you personally, not all of you. But you might well have fear creeping at your door about results maybe still to come, or maybe tests that you have to go through. Or maybe you're just generally fearful because you look at the news and it ain't pretty. The world leaders are not making this the best world to live on. Or if you look at the news and you see all these natural disasters happening, or you hear about wars, and you might say, well, we're far away from the Ukraine-Russian border, we're safe, but we've got brothers and sisters living there. So as Christians, we should be interested too. And that might also, in the same breath, give us a little bit of fear and say, what's going to happen? And yet, this lady, and it must have been painful for her, to eventually lay the baby in that little basket. Moses' basket, that's where we get the phrase from. And then she put it in the Nile, and she had to step back. And at that moment, she had to let God. Step back and let God. And maybe that's what God is telling us this morning. Just step back. I see your pain. I know the feelings you have. But lay it before me and I will look after it for you. Whatever that is. Live in faith and not in fear. See, that's not a message just for mothers, just because Jochebed did it. It is a message for all of us. All of us, absolutely, absolutely. And we are called to live that life so that the world out there can see there is something different. Of course, March was the month where we celebrate, where we remembered 5 years ago COVID struck. Yeah? Fear gripped the world. And all of us dealt with it in different ways. I did not deal with it well. I was close to a nervous breakdown. I wish I was furloughed. I was never furloughed. I had to do youth work throughout it over Zoom. How do you do youth work over Zoom? You know, they're active kids. They want to be active. And anyway, I did not cope well. But one thing I learned through it and coming out of it is that actually I can put my faith in God. I can put my faith in the one who holds it all together. Was I angry with God? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I didn't want it. My neighbors didn't want it. My neighbor over the road, she lost her husband during COVID. And I saw the ambulance arrive because of the lights. It was 11 o'clock at night, two minutes past 11, I remember well. And I saw the lights and I rushed over. And I remember the ambulance man turning me away and said, you cannot go in because you haven't got PPE. You haven't got protective clothing. And I said, I'll take the risk. Thank you very much. I live by faith and not by fear. And I sat with her, with the neighbor, and I held her hand as her husband was carried away like he, you know, in one of those hazmat suits. And it was horrendous for her. And later he then died in hospital with or from COVID. We're not quite sure. But the world would try to say, no, this is a fearful moment. Live in the fear of it. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to live in faith that God will protect me, that God will protect Dorothy, the widow who was a widow who was left behind, and that we can have a time together and we pray together. This was four and a half years ago now. Last week, Dorothy knocked on our front door. And she says, I've got some news to share with you. I said, okay, come in, have coffee, have a tea. And she says, not good news. She says, I'm riddled with cancer. What do you do? Oh, I'm a Christian. Yes, let's claim faith over this. Let's start praying for healing over this lady. This lady doesn't know Christ as I know Christ. Oh, that's tricky. And then I suddenly realized, why is she knocking on my door? Because I lived in faith one day, 4.5 years ago, and I never burnt those bridges. She knew where to go. Do you know where to go? Do your neighbors know where to go? Do your friends know where to go? When the moment hits and it just takes life out, do they know where to go? Who to call on? See, Jochebed did in her way. She lived in faith and not in fear. And that's why she's remembered in that hall of fame in Hebrews 11, which we read earlier. Can I have the next lady, please? Very famous lady. Very famous lady. Yes, it is Mary, the mother of Jesus. We had the words read from Luke. She pondered these things in her heart. What were these things? Well, shepherds visiting, wise men visiting, a baby born in a stable. All of it had just happened to this teenage woman. Miraculous birth. Because, hey, hang on, I wasn't married, therefore I didn't do the deed. And yet she had to take it all in very quickly. It just happened. Boom, 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 boom. 9 months. Baby, visitors, foreigners, strangers, animals. Whatever next, God. And it just says she kept all in her heart. And I think that is something that we might just look at Mary and say, actually, how do you deal in circumstances where it could be too much? Because come on, read the Christmas story afresh. Look at it as if you were there and you were in her shoes. Man, I would have bolted that door. I would have locked that door and nobody was going to come in until I had a night's sleep. Let's say a week's sleep. I would have bolted that door and the shepherds would just have to wait outside until I was ready for visitors. The wise men, what, you traveled, what, a very long time? Well, try having a baby, mate. Yeah, Mary could have. And yet, she remembered probably the words that she said to the angels 9 months ago. I am here, the Lord's servant. I will do his will. Use me. Now, maybe in your life, you've said that once, and you call yourself therefore a Christian. Lord, I'm going to give myself to you, like Mary. Has the Lord done to you what he did to Mary? Some unexplainable stuff in your life? And I think if you look at your life, there are some unexplainable things, for good or for bad. But what do you do with them? Do you then go back to living in fear, locking the door? Or do you go and live in faith? Do you ponder on these things and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with these things? Actually, these things turn out to be beautiful. The lady over here prayed for all the flowers and the daffodils out. Sometimes we just see them and we don't even notice them. We see them, but we don't notice them. And it needs a prayer like that to kind of say, yes, actually, yes. I am thankful for the color, for the warmth of the sun, for the memories that God has given me. Because that's what Mary was saying. She pondered those things in her heart. What things? The memories that she was making. And they were all good memories. So a mum loves by all these things. Can I have the next slide? A mum shows her love by all these things that we've discussed. And we've looked at two examples. Can I just change that line slightly by the next slide? God has shown his love by, next slide. And that's the verse we had, sending his only son so that the world knew. Yeah? So we've got examples, good or bad, of mothers, but God's love is so great that he sent his only son into the world that we could have life through him. I've got life because a lady gave birth to me. But that's not the only life I've got. I've also got a spiritual life that God gave to me that was reawakened many years ago by somebody saying, Eric, would you be interested in following Jesus? And I'm saying, who is he? Because I wasn't raised as a Christian at home. Who is he? Introduce me to him. And I was kind of hoping that they would introduce me to a physical person that I could shake hands with, that I could hug, that I could have debates with. And then they say, close your eyes. And I say, ooh, surprise. And then they started doing this thing, which I now know as prayer. And then they said, amen. And I opened my eyes and there was no Jesus. It was just the same bloke sitting in front of me. And not a lot changed on that day. My life since then has changed a lot. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. That is the good news we have. Doesn't matter what sort of parenting background you come from, you still have that eternity to look forward to if you want it. See, God is not going to force it on us. He's not going to force it on your neighbors. He's not going to force it on Dorothy over the road from me. Sometimes they have to come to you and say, I don't know where to go with this. And we prayed with Dorothy, and I made her a little bookmark with Psalm 23 on it that we've dropped through the letterbox. And we've got text messages on the WhatsApp saying, thank you so much. And we'll just see what we can do. Because sometimes life knocks even us Christians. You might say, I'm a solid Christian. Me and God, we're solid. Well, praise the Lord for that. But life still knocks you back from time to time. And that's when it really matters. Are you going towards the fear factor, or are you staying with faith? Will you be remembered for your faith rather than for the fear that might be in you? Could you just switch the sound? Uh-oh. No, I haven't. So if you can crank it up. We've got a song to finish with. It's a Graham Kendrick song. But the lyrics, when I discovered them or rediscovered them, are just so good. Well, we'll see what happens. Okay. Can you move it forward? No. Sorry, the PowerPoint, because there should be lyrics. Oh, there you go.